Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello, my friends, and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, Carly Corrigal, and this week I want to do something which is part confessional, because we all bloody love a confessional, don't we? Especially an embarrassing one. The grimy little details, and also kind of a follow-on from last week's episode, because there was something I said which landed with a few of you. And that was that I think as women in midlife who are dealing with a lot, right, we wildly overestimate how much it's going to take to make a difference, because often we're doing a lot of things which maybe aren't landing with us. They're not sitting right with our body, with our lifestyle as it is now. And so it's very hard for us to imagine how kind of micro changes, small little things, are going to have the power, the impact to really make a difference. So I want to share with you my own weird little micro change, micro habit that has made the absolute world of difference. I would say more than, gosh, how many years have I been training now? My maths is appalling. 25, 30 years of training put together this one little thing, and let you in on the not so secret world of my big core streak. So I have talked about this before, but not in great detail on the podcast. Not because like I'm going, oh, big reveal, you know, something dramatic. But because I'm a PT, for a long time, I felt quite embarrassed about this. And it was almost like, you know, telling your client to do one thing and yourself doing, well, it was exactly that, actually. What am I talking about? Let's not skirt around it, Corrigal. It was exactly that. It was me telling my clients, okay, you've got this issue, you've got this problem, you've got this thing going on with your body. Don't be embarrassed. We need to get this sorted. There's so many ways of getting this sorted. And then setting them on a path, supporting them to do that. Could I do that for myself? Well, turns out not. But that's exactly why I need to tell you this, okay? So, the background. As of today, I just put it into ChatGPT because I've absolutely no idea how many days it is. But I have done 10 minutes of core work, focus core work, every single day for 1,261 days without missing a single day, which is a little bit mental, isn't it? And I don't, when you're switching off and going, well, that's not for me, she's nuts, I couldn't do that, because I want to tell you how we came to this, because this isn't really the whole point of the story. It isn't, oh God, look at me, I've done this habit every day. It's really about you, right? It's really about you, your body, what your, maybe your unique quirk is, the thing that you're not sorting, and what it actually might take to get that sorted, and the mental relief of having it sorted, and also that feeling of capability. And I'm going to talk about this a lot, and I do talk about this a lot on the podcast, but that feeling of when your body actually responds to something, how hugely motivating that is, and how that starts off this beautiful spiral of change, because you are like, wow, okay, I didn't think my body was capable of this. What's the next thing? So let me take you back to where this actually started. And this, my friends, is the vulnerable bit, all right? And I'm no stranger to being vulnerable on the internet. I have talked at length about, you know, changes through the perimenopause, all the weird symptoms, all the weird quirks through that. Before that, I was chatting about the postnatal period. I talked openly about my postnatal depression, my episodes of anxiety. I have no issue sharing this, but for some reason, this was like my dirty little secret, because from the outside, if I take you back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I was probably still technically kind of postpartum. I had like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So a little bit between that, somewhere between 5 and 7 years ago, very precise. To the outside, I looked like I had it nailed. Okay, I ran like a marathon PB, a good time in 2019. I was out working out every day, I mean, that has its own issues perimenopausally, but we won't go into that today. But literally, from the outside, I looked fit. I probably looked strong. I was definitely, you know, training lots of different clients, really talking about building bodies, getting stronger, getting fitter. And I looked like I was extolling all those virtues on the outside. But there was quite a lot going on the inside. The first thing, and it is a postnatal thing for me, but I had a massive, and I say massive, it was pretty gross, abdominal separation or diastasis recti, as we call it in the business. So that's a gap between your abdominal muscles, the muscles of your, usually your rectus abdominis, which is your superficial muscles, the six pack muscles. And I noticed when I was pregnant with my second son, that my abs were kind of forming this kind of almost like a bread loaf shape. And I remember going to see the midwife and her saying, oh yes, you've got an ab separation there, but don't worry, it'll come back together when you've had your baby. And at that point I wasn't a PT and I was like horrified at this idea of my abs separating, but I was kind of chill about it to the extent that, you know, you're like, well, my whole body's changing. So, you know, there's lots we're going to have to sort out when this business is done. But to cut a really long story short, even though I got back into fitness, even though I started training as a personal trainer, qualifying as a personal trainer within that first year of my son being born, my second son, those abs did not come back together. And I did countless YouTube workouts. I did yoga. I got back into my running. I was doing a bit of strength training, admittedly not as much as I probably should. And they just weren't right. If I leant back, I could see this like little pyramid down the middle of my tummy, and if I pushed, if I pressed on that area, literally you could fit most of your fist in that gap. I mean, weird, seriously weird. And I know probably some of you will have had this and you'll know exactly what I mean, but I just couldn't get that core connection coming. And I booked myself a GP appointment, and the GP, he was shall we say an older gentleman, since retired, essentially said to me, yeah, well, we see this a lot, and you've basically had two babies quite close together and there's nothing we can do. He wouldn't refer me for physio. He basically told me, you know, you're lucky, you got your kids, you're in your 30s, crack on, which is pretty appalling, isn't it, when you think about it. But, you know, wasn't unusual, maybe not unusual now, but I'd like to think we've moved on in the last sort of 12 years, but I digress. I was like, oh, okay. So I did learn how to, you know, do some diastasis recti healing work, looking at being able to maintain tension. So that's kind of not just about the depth of that gap, but being able to engage the core, but it wasn't really clicking. I'll be 100% honest with you. And then as I went through the years, just kind of not really sorting it out, I was a bit embarrassed of my tummy, wearing a bikini, big no, definitely not, abs just look weird, didn't feel like I was being held. And then essentially what happened was it all came to a bit of a head, my friends. Two things happened. Okay, firstly, my hormones started changing. My weight distribution started changing. And on top of these abs, which were not performing as they should be, I developed more belly fat around my middle. Again, totally normal. This is what happens, okay? Our hormones change as we head through the perimenopause period, and where when we're younger, when we're in our kind of reproductive prime, the pre-peri years, weight tends to go on your boobs, around your bottom, around your hips. Then as we head through the menopause, because of various factors, including that your body is just trying to produce a little bit of a less potent form of estrogen from your belly fat, it starts to store around your middle. You develop more of a male pattern of holding on to excess body fat around your middle. So I started a little bit of that, and I really didn't like it. Okay, I'll be honest, it really bothered me. So I had this feeling of kind of nothing holding me in, this disconnection with my abs, and then this belly fat. And I was like, oh God, I feel so embarrassed. I'm supposed to be, and it is hard. I mean, your heart bleeds for me as a PT, right? You're like, what about for everybody else? At least you have the knowledge. But I felt this pressure that people would look to me and want to maybe look at my body in a way that it would need to be aspirational. It's kind of a strange pressure when your bodies are your business. Your body can become your business. And I felt judged for this. So I just hid in baggy tops. If you find any photos of me online in the early 2020s, I am in baggy tops because I was just really, really embarrassed. And then the problems really started because it wasn't about an aesthetic. It was the trigger for me was the back pain. And oh my God, the sciatica. So essentially, a side effect of not having any core muscles that were working functionally, I developed a disc bulge in my lumbar spine, in my lower back. And oh my God, I've literally never experienced pain like it. I mean, I joke that I would go through labour again. It was so excruciating because there, unlike labour, there was no productivity to it. You know, you're not getting a baby at the end. I mean, I don't think that would have made matters any better. Have a baby for your sciatica. No, thank you. But seriously, you know, the pain is not good, a good sign. The nerve pain is like, I describe it to people as like having toothache, but in your bum and down your leg. It never switches off. You cannot find a comfortable position. It is excruciating and so, so bloody wearing. And I mean, I was like, it was like having my feet held to the coals. It was horrific. I couldn't drive. I couldn't work when it was really, really bad because, of course, you can't lift anything. Driving was the worst, that kind of subtle up and down on my accelerator pedal because it's down my right side. Horrendous. And I remember the worst thing was my husband and I went away, rare child-free night away when the kids were smallish. We went away to this lovely hotel for the weekend and we went out for dinner and it was kind of twinging before I went, but we went to this lovely restaurant and they had these high stools around a circular bar where we sat beforehand. And for some reason, that position was particularly bad for compressing that nerve. And I think it's probably because I've got short legs, so I couldn't put my feet on the rung, on the bottom rung of the stool. But I felt this sciatica attack coming on. Anyway, by the time we finished dinner, I was like, this is bad. Hopefully if I can walk this off. It was excruciating. I spent the whole night in agony. I ended up lying on the floor of our hotel room crying. I mean, my poor husband, he's like trying to see, like, should we just drive home? I was like, we can't drive home. We've been having cocktails. He's like, can we just get through to morning? It was awful. So awful. And I just felt really old, really decrepit. I was so far from where I wanted to be. And I knew so much of this was down to the fact that I'd not healed this ab gap. I'd kind of not really dealt with it. And I had tried, you know, I had tried. I think it's unfair to say I'd swept it completely under the carpet, but I'd never really done the work, the boring work that I knew was going to make the difference. I remember trying to sort of get into Pilates, and I've got some great friends who are Pilates teachers, and I actually have quite a few Pilates teachers that come to my classes, to my Train with Carly classes, and that have done perimenopause, which just shows that coaches need coaches, right? We all rotate around, and it is the greatest form of flattery when a professional in the fitness industry who really knows her stuff comes to my classes. But anyway, I digress. I went to a Pilates class with a great instructor, and I couldn't do, was it a roll up or a roll down? So basically the one where you have to start on the floor on your back and you roll yourself up through your spine, right? It's like a curl up, okay? I could not do it at all, right? I'm there, imagine the scene. It's a really nice studio and I'm literally the only one on my back on the floor, literally like, oh, I can't move. I kept thinking, one, two, three, go. And she's talking about control and C curve and rolling up from the ground with control. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Literally, I'm like a beetle that's been flipped on its back with my arms and legs in the air. I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed. And she was really kind, didn't draw attention to me. But I just felt, my God, I can't even do this. What am I doing? I've got no core control whatsoever. So yeah, it was that. It was like the fact that I knew functionally my core was not doing what it needed to do. I couldn't exercise in a way I needed to. I mean, God knows how I was doing all the running, all the miles I was with a core that wasn't really holding me up. God knows how I was able to even lift any weights. I mean, just so dysfunctional. The pressure as well on the other joints, muscles, tissues would have been huge. And aesthetically, and I say this to everybody, actually, please don't think of this. If you don't like your belly, I'd love for you to learn to love it, but you might not. And you know what? That's totally fine. Like, we do tend to think it shouldn't matter to care about how we look. But actually, I felt so disconnected with it. I really didn't like that part of myself. And that was important to me as well. And then the back pain was just the end of it. I mean, I had to order this, oh my God, this special cushion from Amazon. It was like one of those cushions that you sit on when you've got really bad piles, like a hole in the middle. But it was designed to like relieve pressure. And at that point in time, I was like, I'll do anything. So I basically had a special cushion that would move around the house with me. It was so, I mean, just, I get it. People are doing this all the time. And my heart goes out to you if you are managing anything like this. But you know, when you just feel like, what have I come to? What is this? So basically, I was like, enough is enough. And it got to New Year. And I do like a New Year's resolution, actually. I like them for my clients. I like them for myself. That fresh start thing, it is a behavioral science proven tool. And I thought to myself, right, we cannot go on like this, Corrigal. We just can't. So I had it in my head. I know the exercises to do, right? I know how to build a core program. Christ, I'm writing them every day for my clients. Why am I not doing it myself? So I was like, 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day of core. And we can just do it for a month, 6 weeks, see how it goes. But, you know, you really need to try and do this, right? I didn't announce it to anybody. It was just a little New Year's resolution. Yes, I told my husband. And I was like, you make me do it. If I say to you, I can't be bothered. And I just started doing it. I started with really basic core moves, kind of dead bugs, basic planks for short periods of time. And the target was so small, this 10 minutes, that there was frankly nowhere to hide from it. 10 minutes, that's it. I couldn't tell myself, oh, I don't have time for that. Or, oh, I've got to go out and do a long run today. Or, you know, I'm seeing clients back to back. 10 minutes, right? That is it. You're like, I could absolutely spend longer faffing about on my phone. Do it. I could do it in front of the TV, right? I made it so micro, okay? And also, because I was doing it myself, I could set myself sort of exercises. If I was just found myself in my jeans at 9 o'clock in the evening, I was like, okay, well, what could I realistically do in jeans? Well, I could probably do like a dead bug or a basic crunch or a basic plank. So I made it so I literally couldn't say no to it. And, you know, life didn't stop being life. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I will be honest about what actually changed and how it changed, because I think that's really important. So I found it surprisingly easy to stick to in that first month, because January's shit, quite honestly. Nothing's going on and everyone's on a fitness kick. So you're kind of very motivated through January. I'm going to talk about how we kind of get habits that survive in a moment. But what actually changed for me was by the end of January, I could actually feel my abs for the first time. And that, if you've ever had this happen, I mean, not everyone listening will have had a baby, but if you've had a baby and initially they tell you to do your pelvic floor exercises and you're like, well, what pelvic floor? Can't feel a thing. And then one day you kind of like, oh, that pelvic floor, that's what I'm talking about. And it was the same with my core. I'd had this complete disconnect with my brain and my body, but I could actually feel them working for the first time. And I felt like I was being held. And it's not just me saying this, because I didn't actually put this in my marketing materials for my core program, which I'll come on to in a minute, because believe it or not, I was then like, I need to spread the word to everybody. So I put my core program out there on the internet for people to buy. But it was really interesting when I started getting feedback from the ladies that joined my core program. They were like, oh, it's so weird. I just feel held from the inside. Or they described like a corset of muscles holding them up, or a brace of muscles. And I can totally relate to that. And I think that's like the best way of describing it. And I just felt like I was holding myself better. And of course, it makes perfect sense. Because from a physiological perspective, if you've got this strong brace of muscles in the middle, that's your pivot point, really, then you're more able to transfer load. So your runs become better, more functional. And your form is better. Your lifts become better. Everything becomes easier. And that back pain, I mean, this was absolutely critical for me. It just went, okay, within a month. Absolutely profound. And my friends, I have had zero, absolutely zero flare up since then in what, 3.5 years. Okay. I used to be a woman who would have to literally brace herself to unload the dishwasher. And there were some days where I was like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Someone else is going to have to do it for me. I mean, maybe I should still be playing on that. Like, I'm really sorry, dishwasher, washing machine, all the other household chores. I can't do them. But seriously, it used to be that simplest things, the special cushion, my friends, the sleeping on the floor on anniversary. I went from that. I don't even feel like I'm tempting fate by saying I don't have a flare up because I know how to manage this now. It's like someone had switched the lights on in a dark cave. I mean, why that would have electricity, but you know the metaphor, like it's been dark for years and suddenly the lights are on. That's how I felt. That was how I felt. And I know a lot of you probably get this, right? Oh, I was being the person who should know better, like quietly struggling away. And suddenly I was like, actually, I've sorted my core. I've got a core. I can work my core. Yeah, I might even go back to Pilates. This is amazing. It's just like such a different vibe. And it gives you that confidence. And that happened really, really quickly. As for body shape changes, well, I'll be totally honest with you on this, my friends, because you know me. It's called Honestly Carly. So doing core exercises alone is not going to give you a toned, quote unquote, because I hate that word and it is not a word that exists. Toned is kind of a marketing expression, which is sold to women as being like, if you've got low body fat and visible muscles, then you're toned, right? But what we're really talking about here is exactly that. Low body fat, visible muscles, right? So over time, absolutely, I have built muscles on my belly. But I did shift a bit of belly fat. That didn't come from doing core work, and it won't. It's a mixture of your nutrition, stress management, believe it or not, because if you're chronically stressed, which I also was, your body finds it very hard to shift belly fat because it's in this state of high alert all the time and it's hanging on to its reserves, okay? And adjusting my training. So less of the mid-zone stuff and much more of the high intensity and then the very low intensity and taking more rest. So those things shifted my belly fat, not doing this. But it did give me the muscles. I have to say, if you work in your muscles regularly, then it will definitely give you muscles. But more importantly than that, at no point throughout my life up until the grand old age of 42 had I worn other than wearing a bikini on a beach in my 20s, I had never worn a crop top to exercise in on its own. Even in, you know, my teens, even in my 20s, always covered up, t-shirt, vest, whatever. 42, I had been doing, I remember it so well, and I even posted about it on my Instagram. I had been doing my core work for about 2.5 months and I'd nailed the habit. I had honestly made some adjustments to my nutrition and stuff as well because I felt like that was getting a bit out of hand and I'd been looking at my stress. So my body fat probably would have been a little lower, but it was the confidence that this core work had given me. I wasn't permanently like falsely sucking in my gut. I was like, oh, actually, I've got really good posture. And of course, I have wobbly bits. I have a loose skin. Oh my goodness, I so do. I still get the pre-period bloat on the odd occasion I have periods these days. They are very sporadic, let me tell you. Hello, perimenopause. But I just felt held. I felt that confidence. And I was like, actually, it's so much cooler teaching these classes in a crop top. And most of the pictures of me online, I'm in a sports bra and leggings because I have that confidence. I'm no longer the little beetle on its back flailing away. Maybe aesthetically nothing dramatic has actually changed, but the feeling, my friends, is completely different. So this is my motivation for sticking to it because I just feel the back pain buggering off, the fact that I feel so much more confident and the fact that everything in life, oh my God, everything in life is so much easier from unloading the dishwasher through to teaching my classes. That would be enough motivation. But we all know that motivation is not going to get you through a habit in the long term. It's massively overrated. And life doesn't stop being life. I mean, I've done this for 3.5 years now. In that time, you know, really busy periods at work, social stuff going on, kids growing up, illnesses, travel, stress, you name it, right? I'm very lucky to have done this, but I've done lots of travel and, you know, lots of little hotels, tiny hotel rooms, tiny, I mean, New York, tiny hotel rooms. I've done these workouts. Literally, I've had to move a suitcase onto a bed to get these done, right? There has been nights that I've nearly forgot. I know I've been on the odd night out. I don't really drink these days, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, I have had a couple of Aperols too many on the odd occasion and forgotten and literally got down next to the bed at 11 p.m. and done my core workouts. And you know what? It's survived. I've never missed a day. I've never missed a day. It's always in my brain. And now it's as routine, and I say this, it's as routine as brushing my teeth. I know I'm going to get it done. It's just something that I do. I wouldn't be without it. It doesn't feel like an effort anymore. And I honestly think that the habit has survived because it hasn't been competing with my life. It's small enough to fit inside it. And I think that is the key with all of this. If you do something consistently enough, you are going to see progress. But it has to be something that you can see yourself doing long term without it kind of having to vie for attention with all of the other things you've got going on. And this is so important in midlife because we are so dragged and stretched in different directions. Okay. I think actually the trip that we did a trip to Florida when I was about 7 months into this journey of doing my core every day. And I think at that point, people were like, are you going to keep it going? Because at that stage, I was still recording every workout by name on my Strava. I mean, I've long since given that up, but anyone who follows me on Strava, you will see I just have like 10 minute strength sessions every single day forever. But I used to put day number 56, you know, woohoo, you've got to 60 or whatever. But that holiday, the family holiday that we took, it was incredible, by the way, such an amazing treat of a trip. But that was the moment I thought, oh, I could give this up now and no one would know. But I felt really sad about it. I was like, no, it's given me so much and I really think I can fit this in wherever we travel and I'm going to keep it going. And the same thing when I got to the end of that first year and I was like, right, I even put a poll, I think, on my Instagram at the time and said, right, is it time for something new or should I keep it going? And most people were like 50-50 between the two. And I was sort of thinking, no, I was looking for some self-validation here because I really want to keep it going. And it had become less of a habit that I was building to the thing I just do. And it does create, it sounds really cheesy, but it is kind of a proven technique with behavioural change. I wasn't just someone who did core work every day. I became someone who does core work every day. And I think that's really important. And once a habit becomes part of your identity, once it's just what you do, it stops feeling like discipline or something you need motivation for. It's just literally like, it just feels like Tuesday. It's like, oh yeah, I'm doing my core. It's Tuesday. That's just what I'm doing. Which is the difference. So on that note though, if you are waiting for life to stop lifing, more energy, you know, the right time to start, then I really would recommend just getting going with whatever you're doing. The right time always just looks like that 10 minutes on a grey day. And it is so important to just kind of dive in. When you get that little nudge from the universe, you're like, I really need to get this sorted. Just literally get it sorted. And this was really what I was talking about in last week's pod. Go back and have a listen to that if you haven't already. It's a corker. Because actually, the habits that most women in midlife, particularly when we are so busy and stretched, are likely to keep are not those kind of intense ones, that big overhaul, that 6 week program that you're going to start when life is clear in this mythical unicorn kind of fashion. It's the ones that are like small enough to survive your real life. And boring repetition is deeply underrated. I do sometimes get questions on my core program and they say, oh, is this just it forever? And I was like, yep. That's largely what I do. You can mix it up when you get really familiar with the workouts. You can mix them up. You can do week 6 and then week 4 and then a bit of the advanced. But it is. It's just that boring, repetitious nature. Like, you don't suddenly wake up one day and go, I need a different way of brushing my teeth. I mean, you might choose a new toothpaste, right? If it ain't broke, don't try and fix it. And this is the thing. We sometimes just have to double down and do the boring micro thing, but just keep it going. And that is what is going to change your body, my friends. And I promise you it will. It will change your body and it will also build your trust because, as I said right at the start, I felt for a while like my body wasn't responding, like it had stopped responding to the impetus that I was giving it. It felt like I was destined to just, you know, end up with quite a flabby belly with no muscle tone and I'd just have to hide it over under a top and I'd just never go to Pilates, right? And what this whole process has taught me, when I started to notice that the input I was giving me results, that was when the shift happened. And this is my, if you ask me to summarize what I want for women that work with me and what all of my programs do, it's that. I build that trust back in yourself and in your body again. So you learn what's right for you, you learn what's going to work with your body now, and you start to see that change. And that is the miraculous thing. That is the like secret sauce. So I did put together my program, and I am going to talk to you a little bit about that before I go, because I know I get a lot of questions on this. And I put together a 6-week core program called Perimenocore, which came directly out of this experience. So it's my lived experience of retraining my core in my 40s that brought this about. And they are just short sessions. The first series are under 10 minutes, actually, but that is still enough. And they're built for your real life. They're built for women at any age, actually. And it's been a surprise hit with some of my clients' teenage daughters have jumped in because they're like, oh, this is great. I can do this. And I think it's fantastic when that happens, because what a way to get core awareness, to build that strength training habit early doors for people. So it's and it's kind of taken off from there. So any age, but I have specifically built it for us women in our 40s and beyond. And it's never too late to start, right? They're built for real life, so you can fit them in anywhere. You literally plug and play. And there is a little bit of a progression as well, because it was so popular and everyone was like, what do I do next? Can I push this on a bit? Do I add weights in? So I created a Perimenocore Advanced as well. So if you want to jump in with those, my friends, this is your nudge. If this has resonated with you, the link is in the show notes. And I'd love to hear how you get on. I love nothing more when people message me and say, I've started your core program. Oh my God, I feel so different. And we're only like 5 days in. And I do genuinely get those messages. And it makes my heart sing, because it replicates my own experience. And let's face it, we all just want to resonate with people. We all just want to like be like, oh my God, me too. That's amazing. It changed life. Promise you, it changed my life. You've been waiting long enough. So my friends, I'm going to wrap this up here. If this episode has resonated with you, then please drop me a message. I'm at Carly Corrigal on Instagram. Again, I will put my handle in the show notes. And please share this with a friend. I love how many of you share these episodes with friends. But if you've got a mate who's been moaning about this kind of thing, then she might benefit from it too. Right, that is all from me this week. I hope you have a cracker of a week, and I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.